Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, Sinn Féin's Vice President Michelle O'Neill has insisted the DUP must return to power sharing in Stormont after Sinn Féin's victory last week in the North's local elections made them the largest party with 144 seats. The DUP held their 122 seat share and claimed this was a victory for their position on the Windsor framework. The Alliance Party increased their number of councillors by 14 to 67. I'm joined now by David McCann, Deputy Editor of the Slugger O'Toole Tool website. Good morning, David.
Morning, Claire.
Now, we know that were the Assembly sitting, Michelle O'Neill would be First Minister. Now Sinn Féin have become the biggest party in local politics. How seismic is that? For the first time, the number of first preference votes for nationalist parties was more than that for unionist parties.
Well, in terms of local elections, this is a first for us. Obviously, Sinn Féin became the largest party in the Assembly last year, but Sinn Féin have broke all sorts of records over the weekend. So let's just put this in context. The best ever local government result for any political party was the DUP in 2005 when they scored 29% of the first preference vote. Sinn Féin took 31% of the vote and elected 144 seats. So they broke all sorts of all Northern Ireland records. You know, it's actually very hard to conceive of another party ever doing better than Sinn Féin did over the weekend. They had a phenomenal result. They have representation across 10 of the 11 councils in Northern Ireland. They're the largest nationalist party in 10 of the 11 councils as well. I'll just give you one council that I think tells the story. In Fermanagh and Omagh District Council, Sinn Féin have a majority of seats in their own right. In an STV system, that's not supposed to happen. But that's just the scale of the victory that they had over the weekend.
And then the DUP saying that they're 122 seats. They say it's an endorsement from their voters for their position on the Windsor framework. How do you assess that, David?
Well, the interesting thing about the DUP's position on the Windsor framework is it's so elastic because we haven't had this panel report back yet. So ultimately, a unionist voter can read into it whatever they like. I mean, Geoffrey Donaldson can interpret that as a mandate to go back into Stormont because the TUV didn't do so well. They could also interpret it as a mandate to potentially hang tough and stay out for a bit longer as well. That's the nature of the mandate that they have. But unquestionably, this election did confirm the DUP as the leading party of unionism. I know, Claire, when we were speaking on Friday, I was talking to you about the DUP-TUV battle being the key one. And the DUP has clearly and decisively won that contest against the traditional unionist voice. For all the combined unionist vote, the DUP took over 61% of the unionist vote on Friday.
And you know, of course, the big question is how will all of this impact the Stormont Assembly and its potential return? Do you think that the election result, the local election result, David, will have any bearing on whether that happens or not?
Yes, I do. I think that this result ultimately, because of the TUV result and because of Sinn Féin's success, I would put more money on Stormont being back within the next 5 to 6 months. I think the DUP know that that's where they need to go. Certainly, that was the theme that I was picking up from the DUP when I was talking to them privately over the weekend. So I would anticipate that Stormont will be back within the next few months.
There was an interesting moment over the weekend when the former Ulster Unionist MLA Danny Kennedy was on the BBC election results programme. He seemed to suggest, David, that Sinn Féin should stop running so many candidates, give unionists in national areas a chance to get elected. We'll have a listen to what he had to say.
That if Sinn Féin did what they intended to do, there would be no unionist representation from an area from just outside Mount Norris as far as Kilkeel, and from Newton Hamilton to the edge of her friend. And I asked her a simple question.
Right.
What would that do for community relations? What would it even do for the branding of something called a New Ireland or a Great Ireland?
Give you a chance?
No, I don't say that.
I mean, it's an election. She ran candidate. She won votes.
And I understand.
It's your problem, not her problem.
Well, it's everybody's problem. Had we been left, David Taylor won the seat successfully. But it's an important point in their overall objectives.
It's an important point, David, he tells us. Do you know what the point is? Do you understand it?
Well, I was sitting on that panel. I wasn't in shot because I was falling off my chair hearing him make that argument. Look, it is a bizarre argument, I think. In Slieve Gullion, which is the DEA that he's referring to, Sinn Féin took 68% of the vote, so they're not clutching at straws down there. They're in position to take 6 out of 7 seats because they get that amount of support. I would also just note two other things, Claire. In East Antrim, for example, there is no nationalist MLA, despite the fact that around 4,500 people vote for nationalist candidates in that constituency. But by Danny's argument, should his colleague John Stewart give up his assembly seat to Sinn Féin or the SDLP? Of course not. It's an election. And also, the other point I would make, even at local government level, in Ards and North Down Borough Council, there is just one nationalist representative out of the 40 there. Once again, I don't see Danny saying that any union seat should be forfeited. And just the final point I would make to you, in 2017, Mike Nesbitt, his then party leader, suggested that Ulster Unionist voters should transfer to the SDLP. Danny Kennedy was one of the first Ulster Unionist candidates in that election to come out and oppose Mike Nesbitt saying that and argued that there should be a maximisation of Unionist representation.
Well, you've brought Mike Nesbitt into it now, and he was out over the weekend, the former Ulster Unionist leader, saying that it was time for a fundamental realignment of unionism. What does he mean?
Well, I think what he meant from that was that basically all the Liberals should coalesce around the Ulster Unionist Party and all the Conservatives should go and coalesce around the DUP, which the only issue you would have with that is that if you're a Liberal within the Democratic Unionist Party, why would you leave the overwhelmingly dominant party of unionism to go to the Ulster Unionist Party that's in a tailspin? Ultimately, I think the unionism is too obsessed by party politics, and I think they need to focus more on the ideas that are coming forward to sell the union. That's really the job of work that faces unionist politicians, not really about party structures and party apparatus.
Now, the Alliance Party, I mentioned there in the beginning, they've had big gains, 14 extra seats, up to 67 now, the third largest party in local politics. Are they happy with that result?
They are happy about it in certain areas. So Alliance did incredibly well in Ards and North Down Borough Council, Lisburn, Castlereagh. However, they fell foul of the Sinn Féin tsunami in Derry and Strabane. They lost both of their councillors over there. They had swings away from them in places like Limavady as well. They didn't make breakthroughs in Mid-Ulster Council. So Alliance's support is still overwhelmingly concentrated in the east. 90% of all the councillors they elected over the weekend are based east of the River Ban. Just 10% are scattered out around the west. But overall, they did come from fifth place to third place, and they did have some significant wins as well. So overall, look, it was a good day for Alliance. They can say, look, we are the only party outside of Sinn Féin that increased their vote share and increased their seats. There were just a couple of places where they were just a bit unlucky and a bit unfortunate that they need to pay attention to.
David, thank you very much again for joining us. David McCann there from the Slugger O'Toole website. Now, there's some breaking news on a very large fine, $1.2 billion, which has been meted out to the Facebook parent company Meta by the Irish Data Protection Commission. We'll have more on that after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.